reached down and wiped our tears away. Stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. We'll be right back.
Good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you from the Radio Ranch on Thursday, April 25th, 2024. Thank you for joining us. Got one scripture to start out with. In Ezekiel 18, chapter 18, verse 30, God says, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God." That's the times that we are facing. That's the tomorrow is what it is. Okay? That's the tomorrow. Well, let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be here, to share your word with the remnant, Lord, to speak to them and to read for ourselves what your word says. You yourself say that you tell your people what you're going to do. You don't keep it from them. You give them ample opportunity, Lord, to repent, to choose wisely, to choose life. And Lord, that's what I pray for this nation and for the remnant today, is that they would choose wisely, that they would choose you and live, that there would be repentance in the land. Lord, it is what is needed, Father, from the lowliest home to the highest estate in the land, Lord. Our nation is in turmoil, chaos. Our enemies rule over us, Lord, because we have turned from you. Father, guide and direct my words this evening. Lord, we share your word and what you've shared with us as we see the current events of the day. And Lord, the answer, the fix, Lord, the solution to the problem. And that is from you. And that is to return to you. I pray, Lord, for the remnant to have ears to hear and eyes to see. And a heart, Lord, that would turn back to you. Bless this time. Thank you for this, Lord, this ability to fellowship with each other and with you. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Remnant, good evening and welcome. Again, Thursday, April 25th. It is springtime. Beautiful sunshine one day and showers the next. That's how it goes. But we hope you're having a good spring. And it's a busy time of year. Sometimes it's a time of upheaval, right? Of the weatherman's wrong. You've got snow and 70 or sun and 70 degrees one day and snow, maybe rain or sleet or something the next. I know how our forecast for this weekend is possible snow in the mountains and rain in the flats. So we'll see. It's springtime. It's how it is. And it's that way in the spiritual as well. It is a time, and we see it. We see it in our land. We see the turmoil in the land, the seemingly idiocracy from our leadership, and chaos all over the world. It's not just here. But I've been in Ezekiel. I want to read here from Ezekiel a couple of verses. Started out at the beginning here, this Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18 is a fantastic, encouraging chapter. In Ezekiel 18, verse 23, God says, "Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather that he should turn from his ways and live?" And that, we were all wicked at one time. And so thankfully we have turned from our wicked ways and live and have life in Christ Jesus. That's the only way to have it. There's so many today that, all the turmoil, the college campuses, Columbia and others are up in turmoil, that they're just, it's all anti-Israelis, right? Pro-Palestinian. And they're just putting one Antichrist aside for another Antichrist. But see, that's how the generation, that's how so many in this land have been taught. They haven't been taught this word of God. The hatred that they spew out, that doesn't come from the word of God. It doesn't. I read this at the beginning. I'll read again a couple more verses here. Ezekiel 18, starting in verse 30. God says, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God." And you know, our conduct, I pause here, our conduct in this nation has been pretty bad. We have turned. We have turned. But this scripture is still there. It was there for them then, and it is there for us today. Okay? These things that are upon us, I hope that we understand, these things that are upon us are because we are the Caucasian, the Germanic, Celtic, Scandinavian kindred people that settled Europe, that drove out the barbarians and settled the European nations and had a European group of nations for 15, 16, 1700 years. Oh, they're not that way now. No, no, because things change. They've changed. But it was from them, it was those that settled this nation and proclaimed in the Mayflower Compact to the glory of God and to further the Christian faith. And never before had a nation been so formed and so based and so fulfilling of prophecy than this new Jerusalem. This new Jerusalem. Pastor Emery, years ago, many, many years ago, had a great pamphlet out. And I guess you can still get it from America's Promise. But it was the new Jerusalem is not the old Jerusalem. And if you're not familiar with that, I would encourage you to write and ask for that pamphlet. I think they still have it. It's a great pamphlet. It shows scripture after scripture after scripture that the New Jerusalem, with the USA right there in the middle of it, is not, when you read about it in scripture, is not the old Jerusalem. I digress, but that is such an important thing to remember because, see, our people haven't been taught this. But the people of the new covenant are the same people of the old covenant. The Bible says so. Take a look at it in Hebrews. You can go back in Isaiah and see the old covenant and the prophecy that would come to pass. And then in Hebrews, it talks about it. What is that? Hebrews 8. I don't have it here in front of me. But the reason that we had these things, and it's so important that we understand that, you've heard it before, that's how Gideon was such a mighty warrior. He understood this when nobody, so few, his father didn't understand it. So few in the land did. That it was God in Gideon's story that had brought the Midianites on them because of their sin, because they turned away. And it was obedience to God and turning back to him was the only way to fix it. A couple of verses here. I want to read Deuteronomy 28, one of the curses. One of the curses because it's what I see in the news today, in our civil life today, in our society. Deuteronomy 28, 47 and 48 says, "Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart." And again, I'm going to pause there. You've heard Brother Paul talk about, where's the joy? Where's the joy? You know, Pastor talked about that years ago. When he was still alive, we would go down after church sometimes, or if we were down working during the week, and maybe go out to lunch and just sit, if it was nice, maybe at an outside little table at a cafe, and you watch people, and you can do it today. Do it today. Go out and just sit and watch people. Where's the joy? And the glad heart that shows itself, where's it at? You don't see it on their faces. You don't. Again, back to Deuteronomy 28. "Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things." And we have so many things that we have to have rental units to keep all our things in. We have to have she sheds and he sheds and build bigger barns to keep all our abundance and bigger houses. He says, "Therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you." Are they our enemies before the Lord sends them against us? Yes. But who brings them here? Who creates a highway across the border for them? The Lord does. This is Deuteronomy 28, 47 and 48. Remnant, we need to be very familiar with this. Therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. You will serve them in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in the lack of all things. And the Lord will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. See, that iron yoke doesn't come from Satan. It doesn't come from the enemies of God. He uses them to do it, but it comes from God. It does. We have to get this down. That, you know, Pastor did, I don't know how many series, at least two series, and there are multiple CD series on Gideon. Ask Gideon. And the answer to Ask Gideon. And if you're not familiar with those, again, Remnant, we've got them available. Fantastic teaching, but they point to why Gideon, who is the least in his household, and his house was the least in the kingdom, that's what the scripture says, how he was called by an angel of God a mighty warrior. Ask Gideon, and the answer to Ask Gideon. And as a double witness here from Deuteronomy is Judges 10, 6 through 10. I'll read it real quick, just for a double witness. It says, then the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, served the Baals and the Ashtoreth, the gods of Aram, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the son of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines. Thus they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the sons of Ammon. Again, Judges 10, 6 through 10. And so we see that it was because we, like we read, we would not serve him with joy and a glad heart for the abundance. And so it's the Lord that allows this to happen. As we move further and further away from him, as we have our forefathers did all throughout the Old Testament, he allows these things to happen. He does. How about that iron yoke we heard about, we read about in Deuteronomy? An iron yoke. Just a couple things. This administration, and you know, we really need to get away from just pointing to Biden, because he is just a drug-filled talking head, is all he is. You know, there was a story last week, I forget if it was in Detroit or Chicago, but a woman brings a corpse, a dead person, a dead body, a dead man in a wheelchair, wheels him in to try to get it to co-sign for her, to sign for her to get a loan, to get some money. Okay. And of course they saw it and they arrested her, but she tried, she brought him in and she's got, you know, his hand. Oh yeah, this is Bill. And he wants this. I just have to help him. And he was dead, a corpse in the wheelchair. That was in America. That wasn't in Africa. That wasn't in Brazil somewhere. Okay. But see, that's what the puppet masters behind the presidency, behind the black shadow government, that's what they're doing. That's all O'Biden is somebody to keep us focused on. The idiot O'Biden, okay? They just announced what? More oil restrictions on, what, 13 million acres of Alaskan petroleum land? Now, you know, what else are you going to do on 13 million acres in Alaska except drill for oil? Where there is an abundance. You ever heard of a thing called the Alaska Pipeline? Huh? And there's more where that came from. But these guys shut it off. Oh, Biden, he don't have a clue about that. He's not doing it. It's just that this shadow government that wants to destroy America, this Pharaoh that has arisen, that knew not Joseph, that knows not our God, and don't care for him or his people, and that's us, is hell-bent on destroying America. There was a quote, I saw it today. I saw it. Maybe it's AI, but I saw it. You know, and Biden is up there talking. Biden's up there talking, and he says, you know we can't be trusted for 15 years. See, that's how bold they are. But because it's from God, most people don't realize that they can be emboldened. Because the sky's the limit. You think it couldn't get any crazier. And these guys say, hold my Chardonnay and watch this. And we pay the penalty. Illegal aliens sent back into the U.S. You got local police departments that are not able to, when they catch these illegal aliens, when they catch these child molesters, when they catch these murderers and thieves and rapists, they have to turn them back loose. That's the word from the boss. That's what the feds tell them to do. Education in the U.S. is a total joke. It's an absolute joke. If you're not homeschooling your children, you better have them in a Christian school, or they will just be led by the blind as their generation grows. It is as absolute simple as that. It really is. And inflation just continues to grow. Continues. Food prices, I saw that graph today, how much food prices are up in the last 3 years, 40%, 60% in some things. I saw a news article, farmers were talking about, some farmers back east, talking about how their input costs were up 75% over 2019. That's just barely 4 years, 5 years. Up 75%. How can real food be produced when it costs 75% more to do it now than it did just a couple short years ago? It can't. And that's the idea. That's the purpose. See, we're in a war, and the people don't realize it. Oh, it's a war, and it's just not realized by so many people. When Matthew 24:6, this has come up time and time again because there are wars all across the country. But you know, there is a spiritual war going on right here. Matthew 24:6 says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet." That's the English Standard Version. Be not alarmed. See to it that you aren't alarmed. Now, you could be concerned, and we should be, and it should bring us closer to our God, because He's the one that can take care of them. He's the one that directs those things. And so it should, as it says, see that you're not alarmed. Well, how? Well, when you are praying more, when you're reading more of the Scripture, when you're looking more into the Scripture, when you're listening to the Word of God, when you do what Philippians 4 tells you, and in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, then that peace does come. Then you can be not alarmed. And you can see these things happening, and yes, they still happen. They still happen. I didn't put it in my notes tonight, and I don't remember exactly where it is, but you know, the Scripture says that we are to be in no way alarmed by our opponents. In no way. In no way are we to be alarmed by our opponents. And the Scripture says that this, if we can do that, that is a sign of destruction for them and salvation for us. See, destruction for them is salvation for us. The destruction of the firstborn in Egypt was salvation for the Hebrews. The parting of the Red Sea, that was salvation. That was an escape for the Hebrews and the Israelites away from Pharaoh and his men. But when it came back on them, it was destruction for them. So the times that we are in, folks, we have to be taking our thoughts captive. We've got to be the best we can. And I fail at it miserably, but, you know, we just have to go back and try again. Because the Word of God is true. And if we can in no way be alarmed by our opponents, That is a sign of destruction for them. That is their destruction. It's their sign saying, here it is. It's half a mile right here, this way. Here's your sign. And it's salvation for us. We are in perilous times today. Volcanoes, you know, they had earthquakes, just up in Jersey a couple weeks ago. We didn't really get to talk a lot about that because, you know, it's not in the news. Oh, buildings swaying and dropping at the same time or, what, a day or two after the massive one out over in Taiwan that just toppled buildings. I don't know if you saw any of that, but that was not a small earthquake in Taiwan. It was massive. These skyscraper buildings just toppling. They were full of people. Over in Indonesia, a volcano erupting 5 times. Oh, it happens all the time. Don't worry about it. It's just the way it goes. Yeah, meanwhile, back to Budweiser on sale. Well, they've evacuated, last I saw, over 11,000 people. And it's been a couple weeks now, but the flooding in UAE, the United Arab Emirates, in the flooding in the desert of Dubai. Heaviest rainfall, they said, in 75 years. Widespread flooding. Again, if you have eyes to see and you can see these things, these perilous times, these times of trouble, these earthquakes, famines, pestilence, these things that... and, you know, our enemy, they haven't had much luck with their COVID or boosters and all that. Oh, they got rid of some, but not as many as they wanted. But, you know, they're in the foods as heavy as it can be. So what do we do? What do we do? You know, Matthew 24, Jesus warned to take heed that least no man deceive you. I sure don't want to deceive you. You know, I learned from Pastor Peters, we all have. Lord, if I've deceived, forgive me. Forgive me for deceiving. And Lord, if I've been deceived, forgive me for being deceived. We've got Pastor did a small paper. It's called The Two Sinners and the Sin of Deception. I think we ran it in the newsletter last year or year before. And we've got it. I think it's just a page or two. We'd be glad to send it to you. But many people don't think about it being a sin to be deceived. But we're told to not be deceived. And so we should do our best to search for truth and do our best to not be deceived. Matthew 24, don't be deceived. See that you're not troubled. He that endures till the end shall be saved. He that endures to the end shall be saved. And I think of that, and I go back to where we started in Deuteronomy, that the enemies come upon us because we did not serve the Lord with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. So guess what? Tie those together. Don't be troubled. Plan on enduring. Just make up your mind. I'm going to endure. I'm going to get through this. Now, you know, don't do it and just lean on the shovel and expect the hole to get dug. You can't do that. You got to get those gloves on. You got to get that shovel in the ground and put your foot on it and start moving some dirt. If you got to dig a hole, that's how it goes. But you get it done with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. You know, the society says, well, how much do you need? And, you know, the answer from society is, well, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. But that's not the way we are to be. It's just not. It's just not. So I hope, folks, I hope you're following my rambling a little bit. I didn't mean to just ramble and ramble, but it is. Exciting times. It is a time for us to be doing the best to toe the line, to stay on that straight and narrow path, to aim for the narrow gate. The narrow gate. And we can see, well, when we see that God sends enemies on us because we didn't serve him with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of his blessings, well, then guess what? We can repent and say, well, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for not serving you with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things, for all the blessings you poured out upon us. Forgive me. You know, Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. I quoted that to a lady one time. She said, well, what are his benefits? And she was supposed to be a Christian. What are his benefits? See, it's not what people aren't thinking about that. You know, how about air to breathe, clothes to wear, the ability to walk, the ability to get up and go to work every day and provide for your family, the ability to have a spouse, the ability to have a family. How about that? I think I told you I went to last week. They had a gun show in town and snuck over there for a little bit. Got in there for about an hour. Didn't buy any firearms. Saw a couple boxes of ammo I picked up, but got to talk to a retired Air Force colonel, and he's actually a neighbor. I'd seen him around, but he had a table and a display there, so I finally got to meet him and exchange cards, and we talked a little bit, and we were, you know, of course the mess that the nation is in comes up, it always does, and he said, but you know, he said, I have to tell you, he said the military was good to me. He said, I've been in. He came out some like a major or colonel or something like that, 30 years. And he said, it was good for me. He said, just, it let me get out and travel the world. He said, he had like seven foreign nation assignments to where he was there for a period of time, anywhere from a year to 5 years. And he said, he got several college degrees and the military paid for it and all that. He said, but you know, he said, being in those foreign countries, he said, it let me see that just how good we have it here. And I asked him, I said, well, what do you mean by that? Cause I was intrigued. I've traveled down to Mexico. Jason and I went down there and had lunch one day about 150 yards from the border. And I can tell you, I don't care to go back. It was the filthiest place I've ever seen. I don't care to go back. And that's, it took a cruise, went to Nassau, I guess, one time. And same thing. I don't care to go back there. It's not my kind of people, not my kind of place. Anyway, so this neighbor, retired whatever from the Air Force, said he'd been in these seven different countries for quite, and he said, he said, the other countries, he said, they, he said, in any aspect, he said, if you want to talk about the opportunity for education, and he meant higher education, he said, as bad as it is here, it's 10 times to 100 times better than other places. He said, you got to remember, no other countries have things like the First Amendment, freedom of speech, or the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, or the right to gather, or the right to protest. And he said, you know, the food. Now, he said, you know, some of your European nations in the nicer places, it's still okay. He said, but for the most part, he said, the commoner, the peasant, he said, you know, they're a week away from starvation. And he said it just, and he just rattled off several things, you know, the food, the electricity, the power that we have. He said, you know, you almost... He said, we're starting to experience some brownouts and some rolling blackouts and things. He said, but usually it's a storm or something like that. And he said, nothing is dependable like that in other countries. And he said, it's just it like night and day, he said. Even, and he said, now, I granted, he said, things are terrible here. He said, you know, we've got to, and he agreed, he even brought up that, you know, we have an administration, a government that is seeking to destroy what, you know,
what has been called the America that we know, the America we grew up in. And it certainly allowed that, or allayed to the multiculturalism that is causing that and leading toward that. And so, anyway, it just, I thought of this verse, you know, the abundance of all things. As bad as it is, we are still abundantly blessed. Now, does that mean we just say, well, you know, Lord, I'm just happy with this little bit? Well, we shouldn't be, because we have our children and our posterity to think of as well. And it is our duty. It is our duty, if we love God, it is our duty to hate evil. Have you ever read that in the scriptures? Right? Love God, hate evil. How about that? Psalms 97. Just flip over there. I'm right there in Ezekiel. Psalms isn't too far away. Right there in the early Testament, right? I'll read it to you out of my New American Standard. But see, that's what we are to do. God didn't just give us this abundance just for us to sit on the couch and, you know, and play video games. Not at all. Psalms 97. Let's just start at verse 1. I think I got time. Let me look. Yep. Psalms 97, verse 1. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And that's what he desires from us. Righteousness and justice. Verse 3. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries round about. His lightnings light up the world. The earth saw and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, and the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples have seen his glory. Let all those be ashamed who serve graven images, who boast themselves of idols. Worship him, the Lord, all you gods. Zion heard this and was glad, and the daughters of Judah have rejoiced because of your judgments, O Lord, and that will happen again. We will rejoice because of his judgments once again. Verse 9, for you are the Lord most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all small g gods. Verse 10, hate evil, all you who love the Lord who preserves the souls of his godly ones, who delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown like seed for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to his holy name. So see, we can repent and come out. That's what he tells us to do. And think, look at this blessing. Look at this blessing. We are delivered from the hand of the wicked. And it says, light is sown like seed for the righteous. And that's sown by God himself. And that means his light, not just the light of the day, but the light that lies in light that guides us daily, is sown like seed for the righteous, for those that have turned to him. And it says, in gladness for the upright in heart. So like Brother Paul said, where's the joy? Where's the joy? Well, we have to make a conscious decision, because it's there for the upright in heart and for the righteous ones. Now, if I'm misreading this, you contact me and let me know. I don't think I'm seeing this wrong. I don't. I know that when we can trust him, when we make a conscious effort to do that, then it goes well. It goes well for us. Just like Paul, you've heard me say it before, when Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, hey, pray for all men, for kings and those in authority, that you may lead a quiet and tranquil life. And guess what? That works. That works.
Now, if you've done it, you know it. And if it's not working for you, you're not doing it. It's just that simple. It's just that simple.
Excuse me, let me get a quick drink here. Got my bottle of water right here. I wanted to read a little bit more in Ezekiel tonight. I know there's current events going. I think that this applies. It in speaking with the remnant, we've talked about how it's just like there's just something in the air. There's just things are different. I've heard that stated in talking with Paul and with Jason and with other members of the congregation, and just I hate to say people on the street, because I really don't talk to just people on the street, but you know, people that you know and around, it's just that seems like something's different. Maybe something's coming to a head or something. And I was reading in Ezekiel 21. It's a parable of the sword of the Lord. And, you know, it starts out, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem and speak against the sanctuaries. And prophesy against the land of Israel, and say," and then he goes on with it. And but as I was reading it, verse 6 says, "As for you, son of man, groan with breaking heart and bitter grief. Groan in their sight. And when they say to you, 'Why do you groan?' you'll say, you shall say, 'Because of the news that is coming. For every heart will melt, all hands will be feeble. Every spirit will faint, and all knees will be weak as water. Behold, it comes and it will happen, declares the Lord God." And it goes on and talks about a sword sharpened and polished like lightning. But there's this groaning. Now, whether it's a verbal and out loud groaning or a groaning in the spirit. I think here he was to groan and cry out. And that's what he did. I think of what Jonah did in Nineveh. You know, Jonah wasn't just walking around and whispering, and just as he passed by, guy, brother, you know, you got 40 days. Brother, you need to repent. No, he was groaning out. He was bemoaning. He was wailing. And groaning. And this hit me that it's like, maybe that is what, you know, we're feeling. Maybe that's what we're experiencing. Verse 12 here of Ezekiel 21, he says, "Cry out and wail, son of man, for it is against my people. It is against all the officials of Israel. Cry out and wail." And every couple pages, when you look in here, he says why, he reminds us why these things have come upon us. Chapter 23 of Ezekiel, verse 35, "Therefore thus says the Lord God," again Ezekiel 23, 35, "because you have forgotten me and cast me behind your back, bear now the punishment of your lewdness and your harlotries." And you know, at the top of the Bible, I wrote in it, "Why?" with a question mark. Because that's why. Because that's why. Because we have turned. But it's not going to be that way forever. Again, you flip the page. God says, "I will make lewdness cease from the land." There's a cleansing coming. There is it's only gonna last so long. It's just that way. God will have his people repent. Or at least he will save those that will. How about that? You know, over here in Hosea 10 says, "Israel is a luxuriant vine." And you think, ooh, that sounds nice, right? Luxuriant. But when you look at the footnote, what that means? Degenerate.
Boy, that puts a different spin on it, doesn't it? Hosea is crying out, and he says, Israel is a degenerate vine. He produces fruit only for himself. The more his fruit, the more altars he made. The richer his land, the better he made the sacred pillars, meaning the ungodly, false pillars. Their heart is faithless. Now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will break down their altars and destroy their sacred pillars. And you think, oh man, that is us. And what do? You just right across the page, verse 12, so with a view to righteousness. There's that righteousness again. That is what God desires. So with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness. And that means loyalty. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to reign to teach righteousness on you. And I guess that's why we continue to try to put this word out, to try to sow with that view to righteousness, so that we can reap in accordance with kindness. That's what we are to do. Well, the timing that we're in, the timing again, exciting times. The new solar year, the beginning of the year, and tell me it hasn't just gotten more interesting since then. Had Passover on April 2nd, had the full, the eclipse on, what, April 6 days later, April 8th, and I've told you my thought, my take on it, is that it's like in the days of Jonah, where he said, repent or perish. And the timing is still, there's still dates coming up. Now, I'm not proclaiming anything to happen on a date, but it's time periods. It's what it seems like. It's the time. It's like Jesus said, you know, you see the red sun at morning and or at night, and you know what the weather's going to do, but you don't see the signs of the times. These are the signs of the times for us to be aware of, remnant. If you didn't observe the Passover, we encourage you to observe the Passover makeup day. No, we didn't make that up. It's in the scripture. You can read about, we encourage you, read about the original Passover in Exodus 12. And the plagues lead up to that are in the preceding chapters, of course. But Exodus 12 talks about the Passover. And then in Numbers 9, they were in the wilderness and observing the Passover. And there were some that weren't ready. They weren't clean. They couldn't observe it at the right time. So God made a way for them to observe it. It says in Numbers 9, 10, 11, he may, however, observe the Passover to the Lord in the second month. On the 14th day at twilight, they shall observe it. And so the first is April 2nd. If you didn't make that, we suggest May 2nd as to observe the Passover. It's 30 days later. Okay? Now, being that the eclipse was just after the Passover, 30 days after the eclipse, instead of May 2nd, is May 8th. So that's 30 days. From Passover on April 2nd, 50 days of Pentecost, right? Pentecost was 50 days after Passover. And so 50 days later, that takes you into the end of May. Well, you look at the time period that Jonah gave Nineveh to repent or they would be destroyed. That takes you to right about a week before Pentecost. And so, again, I'm not saying this is going to happen or that's going to happen. It's just that these are the times that we are in. And, you know, at the time of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was poured out. The Holy Spirit was poured out. And there were massive baptisms and repentances. And that was a good thing. It really was. So, again, Passover, we encourage you. You know, read Exodus 12 on the Passover day. It's not a Sabbath day. We encourage you to just in the twilight, in the early evening, be ready and read Exodus 12. Read Numbers 9. 2 Chronicles 30 with King Hezekiah. That's a second witness. That was when he sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters that they should come and celebrate the Passover. And the Bible says he was laughed to scorn by many, but not all. Not all. Oh, there were some that heard. There were some that desired to serve God, to turn back to God. And they did, and they were blessed because of it. So that's a second witness, 2 Chronicles. And of course, we know that Christ is our Passover. We read that in the New Testament. He is the sacrifice now that was, the lamb that was slain. And so we don't, the perfect lamb was slain. 1 Corinthians 5, today Christ is our Passover. And it tells us how to celebrate, right? Not with malice, but with sincerity and truth. And I think just like God honored those that obeyed him, and he saved them and delivered them from their bondage, that he does that again for us today. And it's important that we observe that and that we cling to that. That's one of his benefits. That's one of his benefits that we see in Psalm 103. And I can tell you another one that I hold to and I believe, and it's just past that. Let me read it so I get it right. I hate to trust my memory to it. But it's Psalms. There it is, 105:37. And Psalms 105 is a retelling. It's a telling of bringing the children. It's a history lesson. It's like what Stephen gave the enemies of God right before they killed him. It's a history lesson. And it talks of Egypt and in Egypt and bringing them out of Egypt. And Psalms 105:37 says, "Then God brought them out with silver and gold. And among his tribes, there was not any who stumbled. He had healed them." Now, a pastor taught that they were healed by partaking of that communion. They were healed by that obedience. Because you can bet, I mean, they had, a million people. You know, there were old ones and young ones and sick ones. And, I mean, it's just always that way. It doesn't say that they weren't, that they were well before that. Anyway, just a little side note. Again, another benefit. Well, Remnant, that's about all I got tonight. I want to thank you for tuning in. Hope you got your volume 4 of the Dragon Slayer newsletter. We've got that mailed out and we emailed it out as well. If you haven't, or if you want more copies, you let us know. We'd be glad to. If we need to resend you one, we can, or if we need to send you a half dozen so you can pass them out, either way. And we are working on newsletter 5, and so we ask you to keep us in your prayers. We are trying to stay ahead. We're kind of ahead of the game on newsletters so far, and we want to continue to do that. It's an exciting time, and we're doing all we can to get the information out. And we do that because you support us, because of your tithes and offerings. That's what pays for everything here. We have bills like everybody else, and because of your support and your prayers, we're able to continue to do that. Well, Remnant, we ask for your prayers. Know that we pray for you. And remember, we have the Wednesday night prayer meeting. We encourage you to join us Saturday morning for Coffee with the Wranglers. That's at 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. on the West Coast, for Coffee with the Wranglers Saturday morning, and then, of course, church Sunday morning. God bless.
sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears.